Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
I personally don't think a fertilized egg should have more rights than an adult woman.
You know nothing. You know nothing. Your ignorance is being shown for the entire world.
Either that thing that you abort is a human person with a right to life or it isn't. That's like shooting at a movement in the bush when you're hunting, and it might be a deer and it might be your fellow hunter, but you don't know. Well, don't shoot, for goodness sakes.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
It's Witness Wednesday. That means we go out into the streets, and that means that we talk to people about stuff. Here's a fellow who's just sitting and having lunch. Let's see what kind of mood he's in, if he'll let me bother him or not. Sir, while you're eating lunch, could I ask you some questions for a radio show we're doing? All right, sir, we're out here talking to people, and we're asking them philosophical questions. For instance, if you were by a swimming pool, came upon a swimming pool, and a stranger was drowning in the pool and needed to be rescued, but so was your dog. Now, you've only got seconds to respond. You can only save one of them. Which one would you rescue?
The stranger.
Why?
Because while I love my dog a lot, they are just animals. Even though they're our best, very good companions, people are still more valuable than animals.
So you think people are more valuable. Why do you think that?
Consciousness and contribution to society are the way that we have decided to value entities on this planet. So, yes, that's why, I think.
I'm going to run with that. Let's say that I'm a philanthropist. I'm a multi-bazillionaire. I give lots of money to charity. I do all kinds of good work. So my life is more valuable than yours?
Oh, not necessarily.
Then clarify it for me.
It's not... You asked me about the difference between an animal and a human, not the difference in value between people. And so that's why I would value the human over the dog.
But then wouldn't I just continue with that thinking and assume that certain people are more valuable than other people? Like, you're more valuable than a quadriplegic in a wheelchair because you can contribute more to society.
Logically, you've certainly got me on that one. I'm a chemistry grad student, so I'm not so good in the whole argument of thing. But I don't really... Your value as a human isn't... Now that you're comparing oranges, your value as a human isn't solely based on your contribution.
Okay, what do you base it on then?
Well, for me, it's your job on this planet as a human is to bring glory to God.
Now that came out of left field, where suddenly we got into a religious conversation here.
Well, and all people can, and so the way that all people have equal value is they can all do that job of equal ability irrespective of their physical or mental capabilities.
All right, so you just brought in, if I heard you correctly, you said my job on this earth is to glorify God. Is that the chief aim of man?
I believe so.
Why do you believe that?
Because God has been a significant part of my life. And I believe that I couldn't have made it through some of the things I've gone through without him in my life.
Who is God to you?
God is my best friend. He, not only does he nurture me, but he also reproaches me when I'm not living as I should be.
Okay, and who is this God?
It is the God of the Bible.
Yeah. You're a Christian?
Yes.
All right, I want to ask you a question then. Let's say instead of coming up to you and asking you about your lunch and philosophical questions, instead I had a knife in my back. Somebody stabbed me. And I approach you, and I'm in bad shape, and I'm terrified. Help me. I'm scared. I'm dying. I'm afraid to die. Can you tell me anything that I should know to make me feel better? What would you say?
That... irrespective of how you've lived your life, God has boundless grace.
I've only got 2:15 now. Help!
Believe on Jesus' name.
Simple as that.
That's what the Bible says.
Why should I do that? Why should I believe on Jesus' name? Better yet, why do you?
Because he gave me life.
What does that mean?
He breathed life into me, and... He knows the number of days that I'll be on this planet. He knows everything that will happen to me, and takes care of me on a daily basis.
So you believe in him out of gratitude?
In part.
Let me ask you another question. When did you become a Christian?
I became a Christian 9 years ago.
Tell me what happened.
I was going to a small Division III school in Michigan, and I just started to wonder about what the whole point of this whole thing was, and had come to the point where I believed that there had to be more than just chasing after stuff. Yeah, stuff. And there is. And unfortunately, people don't always know it.
Something, you had a God-shaped hole in your heart, and only Jesus could fill it.
I guess the short answer is yes. I think without Jesus in your life, it's sort of pointless. You will die, and you're kind of, while you may be remembered, your impact on the people in your world will more or less still be meaningless, no matter how much money you have.
All right, I'm going to tell you a story of two people getting onto an airplane, and I'm going to have you try to figure out which one you are. All right. The first guy gets onto an airplane, and the flight attendant hands him a parachute and says, "Here, put this parachute on. It'll make your flight better." So the guy thinks, okay, takes the parachute. The lady's very nice. He gets to his seat. He settles in, and he starts thinking about how unfulfilling his last flights have been and how much he doesn't enjoy flying. So he decides, that lady seems so nice. I'm going to put the parachute on. Maybe it'll make my flight better. And as soon as he does, what happens? Well, that thing is heavy, it's uncomfortable, it's awkward, the seatbelt cuts into his middle, and more than that, people start laughing at him and pointing because the guy's wearing a parachute in a modern-day jetliner. So what does he do? He takes the thing off in disgust, stuffs it underneath his seat, angry at the woman who gave him the parachute. Now, second guy gets on the airplane, flight attendant hands him the parachute and says, "Here, I need to tell you something. At 35,000 feet, this plane is going to go down, and it's going to crash into a mountain. And unless you've got this parachute, you're going to go down with it." The guy takes the parachute, grabs it, doesn't wait to get to his seat. He straps it on his back. Does it hurt? Yep, it's uncomfortable. Seatbelt cuts into his middle. People are pointing and laughing, but does he take it off? Nope, because he didn't put it on to make his flight better. He put it on to save himself from the wrath that is to come. Now, that's a little analogy of faith. Some people put on Jesus Christ because they're needing something. They're not fulfilled. They've got a Jaguar, but it doesn't make them as happy as they thought as soon as the new car smell goes away. Other people put on Jesus Christ because they understand judgment and they understand God's plan of redemption. And so they put on the parachute and they never take it off because it doesn't matter what happens in life. They didn't put on Jesus Christ for a better flight. They put it on to save themselves. Which one of those guys do you think you are?
Probably the second guy. Being a Christian doesn't mean you're going to be happy, wealthy, never have anything go wrong with you.
Where would forgiveness of sins fall into this whole picture for you?
God redeemed the world. So originally Jews had the law, and if they believed that if you obeyed the law, then you could go to heaven. But the legalism of that got distorted to the point where God felt that the only way that he could redeem the world was through a blood sacrifice of his son. Lamb of God was sacrificed to give all people since Jesus the opportunity to have their sins forgiven independent of some aspects of Jewish law. Okay, so first God reached out to us, and then through repentance of your sin and you reach back toward God, he sends forgiveness your way, and you build faith by that.
Okay, so on the scale of 1 to 10, or the list of important things in your faith and why you believe in Jesus Christ, where does that fit in?
Number 2.
What's number 1?
Grace.
Grace, isn't that the same thing that we were just talking about?
Sorta, but forgiveness and repentance go slightly closer together than grace and forgiveness.
So you say grace is number one.
First, grace from God comes first. It's before anything that we can do.
Why didn't you mention that straight away?
Well, it's kind of a cut and dry answer that the world has heard a lot of times. Honestly, I didn't know who you were. I hadn't checked out your shirt yet. Who am I being accosted by? I don't know. It is that simple, but it's also not that simple. As just grace through faith and forgiveness of sins.
All right. You want me to leave now? I'll go. I'll scoot. No, listen, I'm glad that you talked to me. We're talking to people about what they believe and just how they prioritize stuff and what has value in their life and why, if they're a Christian, why they believe that. So you did just fine. You couldn't. There's no prepping for the test. Do you believe? Now you're a chemist. Is that right? Do you believe in evolution?
No.
How old do you think the Earth is?
10 to 20,000 years.
Oh, you're a young Earth kind of guy. See ya. Thanks very much for talking to me. I appreciate it very much. Enjoy your lunch. All right. Now, we just have to make sure, as we've been saying before, that we get the foundation down, that we get this foundation built of what our faith is so that we can just rattle it off. Bada bing, bada boom. It should be the first thing that comes flying out of our mouth. It should be the first thing that our children are able to articulate. And so it is when we go, or when our children go out and give a reason for the hope that lies within them, they can just, boom, that should be foundational.
This is Wretched Radio.
You've most likely been there, sitting across from a therapist, staring at their degrees on the wall, listening while they give you a diagnosis and tell you what pill and prescription they think are going to cure all your ills. That's why Dr. Greg Giffert wrote Lies My Therapist Told Me, because sometimes it's not the medication or even the diagnosis that's the real issue. It's that the whole system doesn't touch what's going on beneath the surface. Pre-order Lies My Therapist Told Me today at fortisinstitute.org/lies.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
So if we were going to be honest with one another, we would have to admit that every day our phone buzzes with celebrity scandals and political outrage and notifications of TikTok trends. But what if your phone could deliver something different? Meet Fortis Plus. If you haven't already downloaded it yet, I want to urge you to take that opportunity right now. It's free and it will replace noise with nourishment. Download it right now where you download your apps, or just go to fortisplus.org, because what feeds your mind shapes your life. You know what's remarkable? Fortis Institute's podcasts have quietly climbed the charts, all of them in at least the top 5% of all podcasts worldwide, three of them in the top 2%. Todd Friel, Adam Tyson, Brad Bigney, Greg Giffert, John Krotz, Libby Glosson, real teachers addressing real issues. And you can find it all on the Fortis Plus app, completely free. Download it, use it, share it, and then partner with us at fortisinstitute.org, because we truly believe the church deserves better. Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know, a dollar today doesn't go near as far as it used to. But what if your dollars could multiply? For 25 years, our gospel partners have been watching their giving multiply. Every month, their faithful support transforms into college campus evangelism, biblical counseling, marriage restoration, and gospel proclamation across the globe. Join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner right now by visiting fortisinstitute.org. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel. You ever notice how Christians sometimes dance around the J word? You know, judging. Yeah, we've gotten so scared of our culture that we're practically doing spiritual gymnastics trying to avoid it. What if I told you that righteous judgment isn't just some outdated concept? It's actually one of God's greatest gifts to protect his flock. That's why I'm fired up about our new resource, Thou Shalt Judge, with Todd Friel and Justin Peters. It's at fortisinstitute.org. That's the Fortis store at fortisinstitute.org. Thou Shalt Judge with Todd Friel and Justin Peters.
Books of the Bible. It is not certain who the human author of the book of Hebrews was. However, it is certain that the ultimate author is the Holy Spirit. The message of Hebrews is an exhortation to faith in Jesus Christ, the mediator of the new covenant. When you want to see how God foreshadowed and fulfilled the gospel in the Old Testament, look to Hebrews.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Hey, could I talk to you for a second on the radio? What is this for? We're talking to people about their priorities in life. What are important things in life? What do you value the most? What do you think is the most important thing in the world to you? Can you answer that question?
What's the most important thing to me?
Yeah.
A lot of things. My health, my quality of life. Humanity, more specific.
That'll do just fine. All right, let me ask you a philosophical question. Let's say that you were walking along and you came across a swimming pool. And inside of the swimming pool, a stranger, somebody you didn't know, was drowning. And they're thrashing around, help me, help me. I'm drowning, I can't swim. And there was also your dog in the swimming pool. Well, if you had a dog. And your dog is drowning in the swimming pool. All right? Now,
drowning.
The point is, this is just a story. So let's say that your dog or a dog was drowning and you have time to save just one of them. All right? You've got seconds to respond. Would you save the dog? Would you save the person, the stranger?
I can only save one. I'd probably save the person.
How come?
And try to help the dog.
Why would you save the person first?
Because of the value that we place on human life versus animals.
All right, fair enough. Okay, here's another one. This one's a real toughie. You ready? You can only save one group of people. Ready? Here's your three choices. You can only save one group. Huh?
I'm not going to do it. Go ahead.
You're
going
to hate this question. You ready?
You can.
Where am I going?
Go ahead.
Where do you think I'm going?
You're going along either race or ethnic lines or class lines or... Okay, but go ahead.
All right. Well, I wasn't, but okay. Here's the question. You can save an airplane full of people from China, some people you don't know, 500 people in a Chinese airplane. You can save a bus full of school children or your best friend.
Ooh.
Which one would you choose?
What's the purpose of this?
Just philosophy, just how you decide what has value.
I'd probably go with the school kids.
How come?
When you calculate it out, what do they call that? The potential. So you have a bunch of school kids, which are younger, which have a longer period of time in which to contribute to the human race.
Oh, okay. I got it. All right. Fair enough. All right. One more question for you. By the way, what are you working on? Just curious.
I'm working on a proposal for my program.
Okay. Here's my question. Let's say that I came up to you today, but instead of with a microphone, I was in big trouble. Somebody had fired a gun through my chest, and I was bleeding, and I'm gasping for breath, and I'm in horrible shape, and I had a terrified look in my face, and I said, help, are you getting paid for this? I don't know. And I was in big trouble, and I came up to you on my knees, and I said, help me, I'm terrified of dying. I'm afraid of dying. Help me. I don't know what's on the other side. Can you tell me anything? I've only got 3 minutes to live. What would you say to me?
What would I say to you? I would try to get you to calm down and explain that, what's my little thing? It's, you know, that dying is a natural part of life. It's another life experience.
But I'm scared. I'm terrified. Help me.
And I wouldn't react to that. I would just try to remain calm, to get help. And probably convince you that you're going to be okay.
I don't want to go to hell. Help me.
You don't want to. How do you know you're going to hell?
I don't know. I'm afraid.
I don't know.
Do you believe anything?
Yeah, I do.
Help me. Tell me. I'm all for it.
Okay. What is the purpose of this thing?
We're just talking to people about stuff like this. Just their beliefs, how they make decisions.
I don't know that. I would just, again, you don't know that you're going to hell. Well, okay.
I want to make sure I'm going to heaven. Help me. And now I've only got a minute 54.
Well, you're toast.
You're cheery. Help!
But I mean, I guess, you know, I just get really philosophical and just, again, try to calm you down and, you know, assure you that everything was going to be okay. And
so I'm going to heaven?
Encourage you to make peace with your past and maybe ask for forgiveness and, you know.
Who do I ask?
You could be whoever that is for you. It could be the universe. It could be God. It could be your family.
All right. Thank you very much. I just passed out on the sidewalk. Thank you very much for talking to me. Thanks. I appreciate it. See ya. All right. Couple of thoughts. One thought is this. The answer to the question about the plane full of children or plane full of Chinese people, the bus full of kids and the best friend. The reason that that's such a wonderful question to ask, the right answer, now I'm not saying it's the easy answer, but in my opinion, the right answer is the plane full of Chinese people. Because all of those lives that are described have the same value, not potential contributions, because for all you know, one of the kids on the school bus could be Charles Manson's nephew. So there's also a great deal of potential to do bad. It is not about potentiality. It is about the value of human life. And while I confess I would struggle mightily to make that decision also, the right answer is the quantity of life because they all have the same quality. And that's why when people are unable to answer that question, we find ourselves struggling with the abortion issue, don't we? Because they wrestle with the concept of quality of life. The answer to the question, whose life has more value? The old person in the nursing home waiting to die or the young person? The right answer is they both have the same value. It's not about the number of days they have left. For all you know, the baby could get dropped in the street and run over by a bus long before the old lady dies. You see, it's not about potential. It's not about the quantity, but it is about the quality of every single life. And until we figure that out, we're going to struggle with life issues at the beginning and at the end. Now, those are tough scenarios, but the purpose of it is for understanding how we should be viewing life. Now, regarding the last topic that we were on with this lady, regarding what would you tell me to believe in, what would you tell me to do in so that I don't go to heaven or hell? And she said, make peace with whomever you believe in. Well, we didn't need to explore that very much because we've heard that so often. That's just your postmodern mindset. You know, talk to the God of your own making, that, you know, whatever graven image you've fashioned to suit yourself, talk to that thing and you'll be fine. That's postmodernism, that you can create a religion to suit yourself and your belief is your belief and that's fine for you. We've heard it 100 times now on this program. But the reason that I'm glad that it came up again is because of the amount of struggling that she did in explaining her faith. Is the exact same struggle that we heard with other people here at the U who claim to be Christian. People who call themselves Christians can't explain what to do. But might I encourage you to make sure that, first of all, you can give a reason for the hope that lies within you. Do this role play at home. First of all, with yourself before you get there. Make sure that you can articulate it. Somebody comes up to you and they're dying. Okay, maybe you find that analogy a little bit morbid. Let's try this morbid analogy. You're walking into a hospital, and you hear somebody's voice calling out from a bedroom, hey, help me, come here, help me. So you walk in, and somebody says, I've got a terminal illness. I'm dying for certain, and I'm scared, and I'm just feeling like this is it. I'm on my last breaths here. Help. What would you say? What would you say? Articulate it for yourself, and then do it with your family. Start right there. Do it with your kids. Help your kids. I'm telling you, this is so foundational. This is so at the core. If we can learn to articulate this, what one must do to be saved, and to understand that it is by repenting and placing your trust in Jesus Christ, oh, it's going to cure a lot of ills. It's going to cure a lot of confusion. It's going to make a lot of problems inside of the church go away because the foundation will be on Jesus Christ, and it'll be sure, and it'll be solid, and it'll be measured right, and so that everything that'll be built on it will be accurate also. And so all these other problems and all this squishiness that exists in the church will disappear because people will need to make a decision. Please, get your own theology on this articulated. It's not that you have wrong theology, but just get it articulated that it's about repenting and trusting. And then teach that to your children. Start with yourself. Start with your family. Start dealing with the kids in your Sunday school class or pastor. Start dealing with your congregation. You're going to be stunned at how many people don't have the ability to articulate this. Start with you, your house, your church, and then let's go from there. And might I suggest, let's do it quick. Time is short and hell is hot. Until tomorrow, go serve your King.